Welcome, welcome, welcome back to They Made Their Way to the Ring, Season 2. So, two things. First of all, a big change came to the show starting last month in October, rolling into November. A big change in the shape of new artwork. Have you noticed? Did I tweet about it enough? I can hear the yes chants now. But the question is, do you like it? Each episode has a new and updated cover art for the woman featured on the episode, and now I've also debuted a new cover for the main event. The podcast artwork for the overall product has been updated too, and I think it looks pretty neat. Professional, I'd go as far as saying. Secondly, can I just say, I'm sure you saw me post and post and post and post about it, but last week, the boat from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Natalia, followed me on X, and we even exchanged a DM or two. I just wanted to share that with y'all. I couldn't believe it. I hope she checks out episode 8, all about her, and, well, I can dream. So, back to business. As it stands across the whole series, 18 episodes have been released so far, and I wanted to share the top most listened to episodes ranked number 5 to number 1, and they are Soraya, or Paige, whichever you prefer, Tori Wilson, Alexa Bliss, Alicia Fox, and Dana Brooke. Remember, only your streams can change this order, so recommend this product to your family and friends, your wrestling mutuals, and of course, tag the stars themselves. Hit that follow button and let them discover this new look on women's wrestling podcasts. With that intro out of the way, let's get to the opening segment of this episode, the newest in this season's content. This is episode 8 of They Made Their Way to the Ring. Let's go. This experience celebrates a woman who debuted a golden goddess. With blonde flowing hair and an athletic frame, she was a thing of beauty. A total diva. A diva turned powerhouse. Turned leader of the pack. A buff, beautiful blonde transitioned to a badass brunette brute force. She boasts one of the longest championship reigns of this modern day era. This woman holds the 10th longest reign of a women's championship in WWE history. So, she's sitting in good company. Often seen as part of a faction, have no doubt about it, this woman can hold her own. She owns a loser leaves WWE victory and a title unification victory. You ready? Making her way to the ring from Yorktown Heights, New York, Mandy Rose. I'm going to start with a small piece of trivia. During that introduction, did you recognize any similarities between Mandy Rose and any other women in WWE? What about if I say divas or flawless? That's right, lay cool. Mandy beat her bestie Sonya in a loser leaves WWE match. And Layla, well, she beat her bestie turned rival Michelle McCool also in a loser leaves match. Mandy also unified the NXT and NXT UK Women's Championships, and Michelle McCool unified the WWE Women's and Divas Championships. Mandy followed in some big footsteps. Amanda Sacamano was born on the 18th of July 1990, and she was born and raised a New York girl. Being the youngest of four children, she would be no stranger to competition. In 2015, Amanda would be introduced to some of the stars of WWE when she was selected as a contestant on the new season of Tough Enough, the hit TV show. The show was full of star power. The hosts came in the form of Renee Young and WWE legend Chris Jericho. The judging panel was made up of superstar Daniel Bryan, WWE diva Paige, Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan for episodes 1-5, and superstar The Miz, who joined mid-season, taking over from Hogan. Amanda, now using the ring name Mandy Rose, had some standout moments in the show. During some training, she became victim to the body slam, followed by the Superfly Splash from Tamina, with the rest of Team Bad looking on. And the match she had with diva Alicia Fox, well, that was quite something. Throughout the match with Foxy, it was clear to see, or should I say Paige made her feelings very clear about the new upstart Mandy. She was more than happy to see Fox hit Rose with the scissors kick for the 3 count, but despite Paige's disbelief and disliking of Mandy, she made it, almost to the end. She was named runner-up to winner Sarah Lee. Some other names to make an impact in WWE from this season were Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. It's important to mention at this point, Mandy didn't come from a wrestling background. She had no affiliation with that world whatsoever. Her first taste of the experience was this Tough Enough competition. Was her entry to WWE different to most? Yes. Did that mean she wasn't passionate? No, absolutely not. Mandy's opportunities would become greater from here on out. Just a couple of months removed from the final of Tough Enough, a trailer dropped on October the 6th, 2015. A trailer for a new season of the hottest reality TV show around, Total Divas. Season 5 was coming on January the 19th, 2016, and it promised all the drama we loved and more. It featured the day one cast of veteran Natalia, Nikki and Brie the Bella Twins, and Eva Marie. Also newer talent to the franchise, Alicia Fox, Paige, and returning star Rosa Mendez. Now, as Jerry Lawler would say, what's better than 7 divas? 8 divas. The brand new WWE diva and hottest Total Divas acquisition, Mandy Rose, will be serving as the 8th cast member. On the second episode to air, Mark Carano called a mandatory meeting for the women backstage. He had something he wanted to share. A new project. He led Mandy in by the arm, like leading a horse to water, or looking at the face of Paige, a pig to slaughter. Mandy had arrived and she'd signed a 5-year deal with WWE. I do want to say, go back and watch this show. I have. It brought eyes from all over the world. It inspired kids. It brought comedy, storytelling, and fighting. It brought eyes that had never even watched wrestling before. The women had a new platform and they made it their own. It was a turning point in women's wrestling for sure. In season 5, drama wasn't far away. I mean, in the world of wrestling, is it ever? We saw Mandy gravitate towards Eva Marie, public enemy number one. Eva toyed with the idea of the pair becoming a tag team. Mandy, having doubts, then began asking the other divas, you know, why is Eva so strongly disliked? Could she trust her? What is her story? Of course, Eva found out. She claimed she wasn't upset, but Mandy, being the nice girl she is, she wanted to remove the knife she hypothetically stuck in Eva's back. Take out the elephant in the room. With that cleared up, Mandy then rubbed up the Queen of Hearts the wrong way. Natalia arranged to meet Rose at the PC, the state-of-the-art training facility where the talent make use of the free time to practice getting better both inside the ring and on the mic. It was Natalia's one day off, and Mandy, she was late. We know Natalia is given. She is the boat. She is the wrestling business in human form. It's in her blood. She's a future Hall of Famer and multi-time champion. So what the hell was Mandy thinking? This business is built on respect. She had on the wrong shoes. She didn't tie up her hair. Then, before attempting a lockup, asked for a selfie. Natalia was pissed. Explanations given, the pair made up. They threw down and Natalia was impressed. Job done. So back to Eva. Later in the season, it was almost like the roles had been reversed. Mandy expressed interest in teaming with Eva. The divas were practicing their in-ring craft at the PC, then Eva broke the news. She has a title match coming up, her first main event, and Eva felt the pressure because if she doesn't come off well, there might not be a chance for them to form a tag team. So she was, well, later in the show, we saw Eva talk to the coaches. She was confident she wanted to stick with her own brand and character. Sort of going forward on her own, she didn't want to entertain the idea of becoming a tag team. Not right now. But knowing this was one thing, delivering that blow to Mandy would be another. Would she find it difficult being upfront and honest with the new diva, or would she find a way to soften the blow? Mandy waited backstage, watching the match. She looked impressed. She greeted Eva post-match to congratulate her on her performance. And no, she didn't win the title, but she had the crowd in the palm of her hand. There seemed to be no better time for Eva than there and then. She explained she was just starting to build this character. Timing is everything, and right now, the timing of Red and Gold was premature. Props to Eva. She was honest, and Mandy took the news better than we thought. During the airing of Total Divas, Mandy Rose would make her way to NXT. Her Tough Enough experience, her training, her reality TV debut, it all led to this moment. Rose made her NXT debut at a live event in January 2016, but it wouldn't be until August the 17th that she would get a TV debut. A 6-woman tag match was featured on the show. It would be Liv Morgan, Nikki Glencross and Carmella versus Alexa Bliss, Daria and Mandy Rose. Mandy would get tagged into this match, but would ultimately cost her team the win when she tapped out to Carmella's Code of Silence. For a debut match, she didn't have a bad showing. She did have a size advantage to a lot of competitors. Her bodybuilding days obvious in the way she presents herself, but she looked great. She looked strong, and she had a long run in NXT to come, right? Surely. Rose wasn't featured on NXT TV again until the following month. Mandy would receive a debut singles match on September the 28th against the rising phenomena Ember Moon. But first, the week prior to this match, Mandy was interviewed backstage. She was asked about her issues with Ember, and Rose claimed Moon didn't fit the mold, that she is what a real NXT superstar should look like, and when she gets in the ring with Ember next week, she'll make sure that Moon is totally eclipsed. The following week, the match everyone waited for was here. It was the second match on the card. I loved Mandy's entrance. She oozed confidence. She entered the ring smoothly, then jumped to a signature position sat on the top turnbuckle, just looking down on the crowd, flaunting everything she had, and they didn't. Next up came her opponent, Ember Moon. The two had a stare down. Mandy looked disgusted and said, "You could never look like me." She followed up her claim with a shove, and the bell rang. Ember, waiting no more, gave Rose her receipt, a big shove right back. Mandy, with a kick to the gut, then was sent Moon to the ropes and with a rope rebound attack, almost knocked her teeth right out. Picking up from the mat what was left of her opponent, Rose reminded her, "You will never look like me." Ember countered with a spinning back kick, followed by a kick to the face, then sends Rose into the corner and delivers a fallaway slam. A high-flying crossbody gets Moon the two count. Mandy, with a bicycle knee, gets a two count of her own. Into the unnamed submission, but knowing there is not going to be a tap-out victory yet, Mandy is smart. She releases the hold and plants a heavy clothesline instead. This time, a one count. Some trash-talking from the Golden Goddess and Moon attempts a roll-up. Ember attempts a head scissors and mid-move, Mandy counters, slamming her face-first into the mat. I for sure thought that would be a three count, but again, only a strong two count. What does Mandy have to do to put her away and be victorious in a debut match? Well, not what she did next. She attempted the cover again and another kick out, then begins to argue with the ref. These heels love to teach the ref how to count, don't they? Giving Ember time to regroup, she sends Rose face first into the turnbuckle and up to the top she goes. We've seen this before. What a stunner. And with that, she eclipsed Rose and put a stop to the newest woman on the roster. This will be Mandy's second and last match on the NXT brand. Yes, she had a lot of matches on NXT live events, but as far as a TV career goes, I think Mandy must hold the shortest NXT TV run ever. Surely. What a waste of talent. For someone who didn't have a wrestling background, I think she really came into her own. Her character work was good and her ring work was promising. I honestly think one of the biggest mistakes WWE or NXT made was not capitalizing on Mandy the first time round. Her success later on in her career when she returned to NXT, well, it spoke volumes. She had the crowd popping. They wanted more and more. In her first NXT run, she looked like a star from the get-go. I really think they could have built Mandy into something bigger before her main roster debut. Her Total Divas character was very likable. She could have been a babyface star that everyone loved, like Kelly Kelly, for example. Or, as we know now, the heel character worked magic for her. They could have built her like Charlotte Flair. I think more time in NXT first time around and she really could have been able to hold gold. The Golden Goddess with the Black and Gold's Golden Prize, the NXT Women's Championship. On November the 20th, 2017, one of the biggest returns happened on Monday Night Raw. Paige was back. "Did you miss me?" she asked the crowd. She just had something to say to every one of these people out here today, and that is, "I'm back." But she didn't come alone. She brought former NXT stars, MMA fighter Sonya Deville, and the Total Diva, and woman who stilled everyone's beating hearts, Mandy Rose. After a long hiatus from NXT, the Golden Goddess was called up to the main roster. It was very strange timing in my opinion, and quite honestly a risky move. Mandy hadn't been seen on NXT TV for quite some time, and a lot of people maybe weren't too familiar with her. Sure, she'd been seen by millions on Total Divas, but her in-ring character and her true self were worlds apart. And let's face it, NXT was a universe all of its own. a third brand. Mandy was thrown into the fold, mixing it up with some of Raw's biggest stars such as Sasha Banks, Bayley, Mickie James, and the Raw Women's Champion, Alexa Bliss. For weeks, the trio terrorized the women's locker room. They picked it apart like vultures. They laid out each woman before them, making Asuka the last one standing, the locker room's beacon of hope. During this time, on December the 18th, 2017, the fans got Mickie James, Sasha, and Bayley versus Absolution, a six-woman tag team match that ended in all-out war. A brawl took place in the ring when the Raw Women's Locker Room united to take down Paige and her sidekicks. Stephanie McMahon, the only woman who had the power to make everyone stop dead in the tracks, interrupted the chaos to reveal a huge announcement. Mandy and the rest of the locker room would get the biggest match of their career, the first ever Women's Royal Rumble match. But, sadly, during a live event, Paige would be injured and would not be cleared to compete in the upcoming pay-per-view event. Paige would still lead the faction known as Absolution, but support them from ringside only due to the no physicality order from the doctor. Just a couple of months after her main roster in-ring debut, Mandy was part of the 30-woman Royal Rumble match, entering at number 4, joining Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, who entered number 1 and 2, and Sarah Logan from the rival women's faction on SmackDown, the Riot Squad. She had a major spot being eliminated by Hall of Famer Lita, and she would make history, for all the wrong reasons, being the first woman to be eliminated from the first women's Rumble match. Nobody wants that spotlight. But maybe the timing was just right for Mandy after all. Rose was doing good things upon a main roster breakout and would find herself inserted into the Women's Elimination Chamber match for the Raw Women's Championship on February the 25th, 2018. Mandy's history-making moments would continue during this time, and on a positive, she was part of the first ever All-Women's Elimination Chamber match. But on a negative, her being eliminated first trend continued when Sasha Banks made Mandy tap out with the bank statement. Mandy's lack of TV experience really didn't come into play at this point. It wasn't noticeable because she was a star. She held herself like a pro, she performed to a high level, and her ability to wrestle came easy to her. It was like she had done this for a very long time. The next history-making event for Mandy came on April the 8th at the WrestleMania 34 kickoff show. The fans were treated to another first ever. It was the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. What a year for firsts, and Mandy had been involved in many of these moments. Displaying her talent, she was a natural inside the ring. She had done what she set out to prove, that she wasn't just another pretty face. I loved the representation of women during this moment. We had Renee Young on the WrestleMania panel, we got Hall of Famer Beth Phoenix and Paige on commentary, and the legend that is Lillian Garcia announcing the match. 20 women made their way to the ring, all with the same goal in mind, to be crowned the first ever WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal winner. Michael Cole asked Paige who she thought would win the Battle Royal, and she answered, Absolution, of course. The pair were involved in the first two eliminations of the match, Miss Money in the Bank, Carmella, and Dana Brooke. Their look seemed to be changing, until the rising NXT stars caused some pandemonium. All hell broke loose and Mandy Rose would be eliminated. The following week, Mandy would have a last Raw appearance when she faced the Boat Natalya. So, just to run it back, a lot had happened between WrestleMania and this point we're at now. The Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania on April the 9th, Paige retired from in-ring competition due to a severe neck injury. We thought that was it. No more Paige, no more Absolution. But the next night on SmackDown Live, Paige was announced as the new SmackDown General Manager. The following week on Raw, April the 16th, during the Superstar Shakeup, Mandy, still representing Absolution, would face Raw's newest superstar, the Queen of Hearts, Natalya. The bell rang and the women locked up. Natalya, the quickest of the two, attempted a roll-up. Mandy kicked out and screamed, "Who do you think you are?" before slapping the face of Natalya. With a takedown on Rose and a fury of headshots, Mandy rolled to the outside, to the aid of her best friend, Sonya Deville. Not giving Rose the chance to regain her stamina, Natalya rolled out of the ring, delivered a kick to the gut and tossed Mandy back inside the ring, like a ragdoll. Playing games with the veteran, the Golden One rolled back to the outside of the ring and delivered a huge bicycle knee to the chin of the Queen of Hearts, who didn't see it coming. Rolling Natalya back inside the ring, Mandy scored a two count. The attack on her opponent continued, almost getting counted out by the ref and near disqualification. Rose opted for a suplex on a challenger, again a two count. The mistake Mandy made was putting Natalya into a submission move. This woman trained in the dungeon. She knows every hold in the game. With an answer to this move from the young superstar, Natalya escaped, throwing Rose to the ground with a hip toss, then picking her up for a slap to the face. Payback, some might say. Some trash talking from the Canadian and an attempted discus clothesline. Mandy dodged the bullet, but out of nowhere, Natalya this time sees the bicycle knee coming, grabs the legs of her opponent mid-air and drops her to the mat, locking in the sharpshooter. Within seconds, Mandy taps out. Monday Night Mandy left Raw with a mixed match challenge loss, 11 Raw TV matches and 3 pay-per-view matches under her belt. Not a bad showing for the newcomer. From here, with the superstar shakeup complete, superstars Rose and Deville would venture onto the Blue Brand. The first glimpse of Absolution would come on the 1st of May when backstage all three members would be reunited. However, things looked different. They weren't all thinking the same thing. Their wavelength had been somewhat distorted. Mandy and Sonya presumed it would be business as usual, that they would pick up where they left off on Raw, the three of them taking over the women's division, this time on SmackDown. They thought this was Absolution 2.0. You know, Paige would once again hold all the power, leading from the front, but this time in a new general manager role, leading her girls into war. But oh no, oh no. Paige informed the women that Absolution was, well, dead. There would be no special treatment, no title matches. Mandy and Sonya would have to earn their opportunities around here like everybody else. And Mandy would get her opportunity first, facing the Irish last kicker, Becky Lynch, the following week on SmackDown. Before this match, Paige interrupted her former teammates as they stood before the curtain ready to enter stage. She informed them that once again, Absolution was no more. Mandy and Sonya fired back saying Paige wasn't their mom. Mother, ma'am, I'm covering all bases here. They said they realised they didn't need her, that while she ditched them for a cushy office job, they wouldn't ever abandon each other. Ever. Paige, then addressing Sonya with baby girl, banned her from ringside, leaving Mandy to go it alone. Her new music hit and Mandy entered the stage to a new debut entrance. A voice seductively spoke Mandy's name and the trons were golden in colour. Then the screen blurred. A very arrogant entrance for an arrogant character, very self-obsessed. Knowing her own beauty, her entrance would reflect that by blurring everything out of focus, leaving the only thing in the frame being Mandy's frame. Yes, that's right. And Corey Graves loved this moment a little more than he maybe should have. Mandy won this match fair and square, and it was a strong start to a career on the Blue Brand. What could go wrong? Mandy and Sonya were both failed to gain a place in the Money in the Bank ladder match when Becky took the win in their triple threat qualifying match. I think this move to SmackDown damaged Mandy's run somewhat, as a momentum was derailed with a series of losses between May and September. In October 2018, Mandy was part of the first ever all-women's pay-per-view event. She took part in the 20-woman Battle Royal. Still early in her wrestling career, Mandy stepped to 19 other women. She managed to gain some legendary eliminations, sending the likes of former divas Molly Holly, Kelly Kelly and Tori Wilson right over the top rope, spilling to the floor, before turning on her best friend Sonya Deville, who just moments before the match, both promised each other they would not turn on one another. She pushed her off the apron, taking away her chance to shine. Now, why did Mandy do that? Did she worry the match came down to the two of them? Worrying if so, who would win? Was Mandy unable to match the powerful strikes of Deville? Will we ever know? Mandy scored 4 eliminations before being eliminated herself by Carmella. In November 2018, Mandy took part in her first Survivor Series match where she represented SmackDown in their loss to Team Raw. However, this match had to have one of the best build-ups in a multi-women's pay-per-view match. I don't remember seeing one as good since Team Bad and Blonde took on Team Total Divas at WrestleMania 32. We didn't care who won because we won. The fans ate for weeks before this match. We saw SmackDown storm Raw. We saw Raw invade SmackDown. We had Becky Lynch take out the baddest woman on the planet, Ronda Rousey. We saw Nia Jax literally break Becky Lynch's face. Honestly, it was nothing but uncontrollable mayhem. Post-match, that was three of the top four pay-per-views ticked off Mandy's list, and things were looking promising for the rising star. There were two more standout moments for Mandy on the SmackDown brand, the first being in late 2018 to January 2019, when Mandy Rose began a storyline with married superstars Jimmy Uso and Naomi. Mandy targeted Jimmy on Christmas Day. She met Jimmy under the mistletoe, and Naomi, quite rightly, was having none of it. The following week, Naomi went one-on-one with Sonya. She looked set to win the match when Mandy grabbed the mic and told her to look at the Tron. She said she was getting ready earlier and couldn't help but think of Jimmy, and she sent him a photo of herself wearing nothing but a towel. This story catapulted us right back to the Diva days. Do you think so too? On January the 8th, Mandy and Sonya were seen backstage. Rose was wearing the towel she sent a picture of herself in the week before to Jimmy, and well, Naomi went wild, like a mad woman. She wanted to throw down. She managed to take out both women before they came back strong, bringing the fight hard. Then Jimmy arrived, making the save for his wife. The next week, Mandy upped her game. It was risky. She gave Jimmy her hotel room key, and he accepted. Sonya vented her frustrations and questioned Mandy's actions. Were the cracks starting to show? Mandy was waiting in a room. Jimmy went in but declined all of her offers. Then the paparazzi entered, taking shots of them both together, revealing her reasons, I guess. Mandy said she wasn't interested in Jimmy. It was all about his wife all along. She despised Naomi and how she runs around like she owns the place. But she said, the truth is, she will never look like me. She knows it. Everyone knows it. She isn't as hot as I am. And with that, enter Naomi. Man, she can fight. This thing looked real. She came in hot. The earrings came off, the shoes were thrown, there was hair flying around every corner of the room before Mandy fled the scene. This story would lead to a Royal Rumble moment. Naomi, with her usual athletic, epic return to the ring after being tossed over the top rope without both feet touching the floor, in fact, any feet touching the floor. Naomi celebrated her achievement of getting back to the ring, standing tall on the steel steps, but an already eliminated Mandy Rose appeared behind her and shoved her from the steel steps to the floor, and she was out. Mandy began celebrating herself before a fight broke up ringside between the women. The refs created a distance between the pair and forced them to the back, and that was that. The next moment would be the remake of Beauty and the Beast, Mandy Rose and Otis. What can I say? Unusual duo? Yes. But did it work? 1000%. Whenever he is paired with female talent, he just knocks it out of the park, and the crowd love it. This relationship they had blossomed. He even saved Mandy from an elimination during the Royal Rumble match. As always, the term three's a crowd means bitterness, jealousy, and hatred. Mandy would agree to a date with Otis, but Sonya didn't approve. She turned to Dolph Ziggler for help. The friendship between Fire and Desire, who had recently been feuding for a chance to become new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, began to break down fast. We would see Mandy help Otis score a victory over Ziggler at WrestleMania, but from here we had Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville carrying the SmackDown Women's Division through the pandemic era. This feud wasn't just about Otis. This was Sonya feeling second best to Mandy. She felt she was always on the back foot, not getting the opportunities that Mandy got, the attention she deserved. This was 5 years worth of pain in the making. She would unload on Mandy, attempting to put an end to the blonde bombshell. The pair had a great matchup on May the 8th, 2020, with Sonya picking up the win. The following week, a mixed tag match earned Sonya the win again. In June, things heated up on Miz TV when Sonya told Mandy she was done. She didn't care anymore. She just wanted to fight. And fight, they did. A few weeks went by and the story, well, it seemed to go quiet until July, when Sonya turned somewhat nuts. Absolutely crazy. Scary, in fact. It was like she was channeling an inner Victoria. Mandy was seen backstage getting ready for a date with Otis when in the mirror she saw Sonya, and Deville attacked Mandy brutally, but then cut her hair. Sonya said she was going to make Mandy as ugly on the outside as she was on the inside. Mandy later proposed a hair versus hair match at SummerSlam. Like I said, was this Victoria versus Molly Holly round two? It would later be revealed that Sonya had an intruder in her home and she would take some time away from the company for various reasons. Therefore, back on screen, the stakes would later be raised. A hair versus hair match, it wouldn't cut it. Pun absolutely intended. It would be, by Sonya's admission, a no disqualification, loser leaves WWE match. Mandy would get the win at SummerSlam, and for old time's sake, for $9.99 a month on the WWE Network, please go back and watch this match. The build-up was huge. So much time was given to these women, months of storyline. If you haven't seen this match, have you been under a rock? Go and watch it. Send me a tweet on X, tell me your thoughts. I will say that this was a moment not talked about enough. How many women get this chance? How many women get so much story time leading to a big payoff? A story that didn't even revolve around a championship. Did you think about that? I think the two really represented to the highest level. I applaud them both, but for me, the right woman won. I think this was a turning point for the women of WWE and of course the fans. How many promotions run a loser leaves match, especially for the women? Yes, we lost a woman temporarily from the roster, but on the grand scale, this was a story that people could relate to. Two best friends turned enemies. The women were given the ball and they did run. Well, no, actually, they didn't run with it. They flew with it. They took the division to new heights. I hope you agree that at some point down the line, this moment might be regarded as one of the top moments in women's wrestling history. Now, with Sonya gone from WWE, it was back to Raw for Mandy Rose. On September the 12th, Rose was drafted to Raw and right off the bat formed a new tag team. Uh-oh. This time with Dana Brooke. Why wouldn't they let Mandy shine as the single star she could be? She had potential. She proved the crowd could get behind her. The new pairing would try to finish what Fire and Desire started, capturing the Women's Tag Team Championships. They tried to take down champs Natalya and Tamina, and also Shayna and Nia. However, the pair would be unsuccessful at every chance they had against both sets of champs. We were still experiencing the COVID-19 pandemic at this time, and it was a very strange time in the women's division. It was almost like WWE just threw everybody together. We'd never had so many tag teams. We had Natalya and Lana, Carmella and Billie Kay, Liv and Ruby, Nia and Shayna. There was hardly a singles competitor left on the Raw women's roster. Mandy and Dana adopted the nickname Sexy Muscle Friends from Asuka, and they knew how to make an entrance. And speaking of entrances, Mandy did capture the audience's attention at WrestleMania 37. Was it that her and Dana looked alike? No. Because they had a similar build and blonde hair? No. Because they had matching pink gear, maybe? No. It was when she slipped and fell, making her way down the ramp to the tag team turmoil match. I loved it. Dana hadn't even noticed. But we did. Like I said before, I'd have ran back up the ramp to cater in. But WWE is entertainment, right? I was so glad they turned this into a small angle when Nia Jax made Mandy's fall a thing. But in true wrestling fashion, revenge is often served wet. Mandy and Dana would throw a bucket of water at Shayna ringside, and when Nia planned to squash them, running to her partner's aid, she slipped and went down. The fans loved it. Mandy's gif might have been bad, but when Nia screamed, "My hole," this had to be the best gif I'd ever seen, and it generated some of the best reactions. So, Mandy, don't worry, girl, you can rest easy. Shooting forward to July 2021, almost a year after returning to Raw, things hadn't been going so well on the Red Brand. Her character seemed to get lost, but she wasn't seen as the threat that she once was, and Mandy, well, she desperately needed a new direction, and a whole different direction was what Mandy got. The chance she rightly deserved, the chance to shine. She was sent back to NXT for the push nobody saw coming. She would be seen week after week getting the lay of the land on NXT 2.0. She was approached by the new girls and she was keeping a close eye on the talent, seeing how the women that go here do things. After all, this wasn't 2016, it was a new era. It would seem Mandy saw something in Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. Almost 1 month into her NXT return, she confronted the girls after they lost a tag team match, offering them a chance. She said, Ladies, if you never want to feel like this again, come with me and never look back. The next week, Mandy Rose had an in-ring debut match in this new NXT. She took on Saray, and she looked to really step up her game. Her confidence was back, and after all her scouting and promises, she lost via countout. When she was kicked in the face, dropping to the outside of the ring, she left the match and the arena, her face covered with a towel, escorted up the ramp by her new stable members as the ref counted to 10. Yeah, I was confused too. I didn't see what was coming next. Nobody did. 2 weeks later, Mandy debuted a new look. The blonde bombshell was no more. Mandy was back. She looked mean, she looked lean, and she was ready to go. Now sporting brunette hair, her eyes told the story. This was her time. This was Toxic Attraction's time. On September the 21st, Mandy would explain her change of character. She said when she came to NXT 2.0, she came to be your gift, your golden goddess. She boasted how the division was in desperate need of a woman like her, a woman that these people would never be with, but love to look at. She asked the crowd, where were they when her face was battered and beaten, huh? Where were you? You did nothing. They showed her that behind this beauty, a beast was ready to be unleashed. This is what the future of NXT 2.0 looks like. Mandy didn't waste time in pushing the two women into title contention, challenging for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. The following week, the Toxic pair would be unsuccessful at capturing the titles, but then would have a new target in mind. They would go after the peak of the mountain. NXT Women's Champion Raquel Gonzalez. They beat her down after a title defense that evening. From here, Mandy laid down the challenge to the champ. Halloween Havoc, Mandy versus Raquel for the grandest prize of them all. Would Raquel accept? Of course she would. She was a fighting champ. The wheel spin revealed it would be Chucky's choice, the type of match these two women would have. And it would be a trick or treat fight. Dakota Kai would be the deciding factor in this match when she attacked Raquel with a shovel, allowing Mandy to pick up the win with a bicycle knee and 1, 2, 3. Our new NXT Women's Champion, Mandy Rose. At Halloween Havoc, Mandy began what was set to be one of the longest reigns in a WWE Women's Championship history. She would go on to defend this title on 16 occasions against the likes of Cora Jade, Alba Fire, and Zoe Stark. One huge defense being a triple threat match at the Worlds Collide pay-per-view when both the NXT and NXT UK Women's Championships were on the line in a winner-takes-all title unification match. It would be NXT Women's Champion Mandy Rose versus NXT UK Women's Champion Mako Satomura versus Blair Davenport. Mandy picked up the win and both belts, but she wouldn't be a double champ for long as the NXT UK title would be retired. Mandy's strong run continued until it all came to an abrupt end when she was pinned by Roxanne Perez, ending a championship run at 413 days. Wow, impressive. She would be the third longest reigning NXT Women's Champion in history, behind Shayna Baszler holding the belt at 416 days and Asuka at an astounding 522 days. Mandy had 17 TV matches, 5 pay-per-view matches involving the title and a War Games match. She would drop the title to the breakout star Roxanne Perez at an NXT TV taping on December the 13th, 2022, in the main event spot on the card. That's how we knew something wasn't right. She was at a peak and then a downfall came instantly. It was revealed in the coming days that Mandy was released due to the content she was posting on a fantime page. The company deemed it too raunchy for their product. They said the stuff she was posting was outside the parameter of her WWE contract. After being the top star on NXT for over a year, in fact, one of the top female stars of the company, to suddenly being released, Mandy said she was left hurt and disappointed. We did get a similar situation with Zelina Vega, but they made a U-turn to bring her back. Will Mandy get the same chance? She revealed she left WWE and became a millionaire due to the work she put into her other platforms and social media. Good for her. It was kind of like two fingers up to those who decided to release her. Now, almost 1 year removed from a shock release and exciting run in NXT, let's be honest, Mandy sat down with Busted Open Radio podcast. She was asked the most important question we all wanted the answer to. Does she have the itch to come back to wrestling, whether it be WWE or beyond? And she said, she doesn't. She hasn't got the itch to come back, but she always stays ready. She acknowledged the often talked about Trish comparison and how being thrown into Total Divas was hard. She said she feels she passed the torch to Roxanne Perez, and when asked who she is most impressed by on the NXT roster, 1 year on, she praised Tiffany Stratton. Now, that's a match I would love to see. Looking back, Mandy said that she is most proud of her last 2 years of her career. Her NXT revamp was needed, and she was happy with what she accomplished. She said it felt nice to help the younger girls grow. Bubba then put it to Mandy that if Vince called tomorrow and said, come back to Raw, you know, you have the pencil, the creative, what's the answer? She said she wouldn't say no. It would be something to think about. Interesting. He also asked who would she like to work with. She said she knows it's done, but Toxic Attraction, reuniting with Gigi and JC. Would you like to see the trio reform and take over NXT once more? Or maybe Raw or SmackDown needs their poisonous presence. If you've not yet heard of the podcast Power Alphas, go check it out on all podcast platforms. This is Mandy's new product with her husband. It delves into all kinds of topics, but wrestling too. And her first guest was her former co-wrestling star, Lacey Evans. It was a great show. So, it's polls time again. I put out two on X for this show. First, which version of Mandy Rose did you like best? Total Divas Mandy, original NXT Mandy, main roster Mandy, or NXT 2.0 Mandy, the champ. And you spoke out. I wish I had the reveal for these polls like they did at Cyber Sunday. I loved those days. 56 people voted on this, with 75% saying NXT 2.0 Mandy. Now, this is my take. I'm mixed. Half of me says yes, I agree. The other half is always left wondering. I loved Mandy's true babyface self on Total Divas, and I always wanted to see her have a face run alone to see what she could do. I loved her look, the golden goddess. You know, I could imagine that as a baby face. The other divas trying to take her down because they were jealous or they wanted her platform. I think it could have worked. Secondly, does Mandy have a Hall of Fame worthy career? Should she be inducted on what she's accomplished up to now, or should she come back for another run first? Maybe take over NXT once more, or jump back to the main roster? Yes, not yet, or no? 38% of you said not yet, and 37% voted no. Very close. Leaving 25% voting yes. Sometimes I have to rein myself in here, because if I had my way, I'd be inducting everyone just so I could represent the women. I don't like that only one woman gets inducted per year. This isn't the man's business it once was. The women are killing it and they're here to stay. But I have to think clearly. I have to say, my vote would be not yet. But that's only because when I look at the likes of Natalia or Mickey James, Melina or Victoria, these women have yet to be recognised. So I wouldn't want today's women to skip the queue, leaving the past in the dust. I'm not saying Mandy shouldn't be inducted, she's achieved a lot, just not right now, but I'm taking nothing away from her. She's an incredible athlete, a sellout and a huge name, and I, more than most, want to see a Mandy Rose return. I really feel Mandy has been influential in many ways. She came into the business very green and she left a pro. She learned the craft on the go. She joined Total Divas when not many people knew who she was. She played a babyface, she perfected a heel. Mandy fought and fought for opportunities. She put the work in. She was a single star. She debuted as a protege to a star. She was put into the biggest pay-per-views, dominated the tag team scene. She ran a faction. She won titles. The girl from Yorktown Heights, New York, rose to great heights. Mandy left WWE with 288 matches on TV and 16 at pay-per-views. I think her NXT run was incredible. You know, I always say NXT is fresh. It showcases younger talent, new stars, up-and-coming stars. But I like to see a veteran come back, whether it be a one-off or for a lengthy run. I like the familiarity. I want a product that I know a lot about, someone that has history. It reminds me that, you know, although NXT is fresh, it's still WWE, the business that got me interested as a kid and has helped me stay interested for all these years. You know, Natalia's return to NXT, that hit the spot. Dana Brooks, I'm telling you, that was going somewhere before that untimely release. You know, and every now and again, WWE hits the mark with a female star, and Mandy was another one of those. My aim in this podcast was to celebrate and showcase the influential women in wrestling, to shine a spotlight on them and all they've achieved. Some have been behind a mic, some behind a man, and some inside the ring. I believe Mandy is another big influence. She's influenced the next generation. She influenced me to follow my passions. Mandy carried the NXT division on her back for over a year, and prior to this, the SmackDown division. She was featured on the women's PWI list for 3 years, was a champion with a historic reign, fought in 3 Rumbles with 3 eliminations, took part in the first ever all-women's pay-per-view, and was a total diva for a season. When asked why Mandy only took part in 1 season, she said because it was extremely important for her to go back to NXT and train. She said the schedule was crazy and people actually thought she was at the PC training when in reality she wasn't. And this sport, like all others, is all about training. This told me she wasn't in it for the fame. Of course, that's a perk. Who wouldn't want that? But she wanted to perfect her craft. She wanted to learn. She wanted to prove what she could do and that she wasn't just a pretty face. I would say she accomplished all of that and more. And last year, she was named PWI's Most Improved Wrestler of the Year. And she left WWE a 2-time champion, the NXT Women's Champion, and briefly, probably for one night only, the NXT UK Women's Champion. I am going to give her that. So that's it, guys. This has been episode 19. The next episode will air around the 1-year anniversary of this podcast in December. Any ideas and thoughts you have, please send it over on X. The DMs are always open. If you enjoyed this episode, please drop a rating and a review. It all helps keep me in some of the charts. Drop me a screenshot of the episode while you're listening and tell me what you enjoyed most. Tag the talent as always. Mandy Rose is at Mandy Sachs on X. Don't forget to hit that follow, like, or subscribe button. Just hit all the buttons. The 20th episode is up next, and honestly, I can't believe it. I didn't think I'd get past episode 1. You're helping me to get my content noticed, so thank you all so much. Remember, I'm not just a podcaster, but a hopeful ring announcer too. Tag WWE and all the promotions, and you will all hear me next time on They Made Their Way to the Ring. Ding, ding, ding.